welcome to the December Spike P&A conference call. We're a little pressed for time today because of our guest has got a very busy schedule, as many of you can imagine. So I'm going to make this very brief. I'm going to do a quick rundown of the pay-per-view lineup for this weekend's Turning Point. All this is available at TNAWrestling.com if you miss any of it. We're going to have a six-man tag team war with Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Samoa Joe versus the Angle Alliance of Kurt, AJ Styles, and Pomko. A six-man tag with a table stipulation with Team 3D and Johnny Devine versus the Motor City Machine Guns and Black Machismo. A match of 10,000 tacks with Abyss and Rhino taking on Black Brandon Relic. TNA Women's Championship match with Gail Kim and Awesome Kong. And the Feast or Fired, which is 15 superstars competing for two world title shots, as well as also a stipulation that they could, in fact, be fired. Now, this card is subject to change, and obviously there are matches yet to be added. For all the breaking information, you can check in Thursday night on Impact, which will feature our guest's debut match on Impact. Our guest today needs no introduction. He's been a world champion in every promotion federation he's ever worked in. He is certainly one of a kind, and so I'd like to go ahead and turn over the call in a question-and-answer format to Booker T. Those of you who have called him before know the system. If you could, just ask one question at a time, and we'll run for about 20 to 25 minutes here. So without further ado, please welcome Booker T.
How's it going, guys?
Operator, if you just want to go ahead and go right into Q&A.
When you want to ask a question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. And your first question comes from the line of Ryan Ryder.
Hey, Booker, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. How's it going?
So the question that's on everybody's mind, what prompted you to make the jump and come to TNA?
You know, I feel like life goes with stages. You know, I had my beginning stages back in Texas and Global. It was a great time, you know, in my life. You know, and then moving on to WCW, I ran there for, you know, 9 years and making a switch. You know, when the company got bought by Vince, you know, it was one of those uncharted waters, you know, a place that I wanted to go that I didn't want to go, but I ended up going anyway, and I spent 7 years there, you know, and I had a great run, you know, but I think you know, with the direction of things right now, the way the company is going, the way the business is there, I just didn't feel like it was appropriate, you know, and I just happen to be one of the guys who didn't have to stick around and take it.
Your next question comes from the line of Jason Clevitt.
Hey, Booker. In TNA, there's a whole bunch of people that you've worked with in the past, guys like Kevin Nash, Jeff Jarrett, Scotty Steiner, that you could definitely jump into feuds with. There's also a whole bunch of talent that you've never worked before. Who are you most looking forward to getting in the ring with?
You know, I've always been one of those guys who like to test my skills, test my wits, you know, see how good I really am, you know. And we've got a lot of great young talent in TNA, you know. AJ Styles, you know, guys like Cass, guys like Bobby Roode, you know, these guys have an abundance of talent, you know, and it's untapped, you know, and I want to see exactly how good I really am, you know, so I want to test the young guys, you know. I've been there with the Jarretts, you know, the Stings, you know, Scott Halls and Kevin Nashes. I've been around the block with those guys. It's a new chapter for Booker T, and I'm looking forward to it.
Your next question comes from the line of Rich Jones.
Hey, Booker, happy Thanksgiving, or belated Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
All right. I just wanted to know, you talked about retiring over the last few years. With this relaxed TNA schedule, will you be staying a little bit longer, as Maurice Williams says?
You know, when I was talking about retirement, you know, it was all about, you know, the schedule I was working, how much, you know, I was on the road, how much I was away from my family, you know, my business. I really couldn't, you know, get a hold to it, you know, and, you know, that was some of the real reasons, you know, I wanted to get out of the business, you know, and just stop wrestling on full time, you know. But with the TNA schedule, you know, I'm looking forward to it, to picking up a little bit, to be honest. I'm not going to slow down any right now, you know. I'm going to roll till the wheels fall off. You know, right now I feel like I'm still a high commodity. I'm still one of the best talents out there in my estimation. So I just want to do it as long as I can.
Your next question comes from the line of Mike Flanow.
Hey, Booker, happy holidays to you. Multi-pronged quick question is, your brother Stevie, has he been involved in your school, and how have you and Charmel avoided some of the pitfall that concerns us all. You know, when couples appear on air in the biz, they tend to break apart, which everyone hates seeing happen.
Yeah. I tell you, my brother and I. No, he's not helping me with PWA. You know, we are at odds actually right now. To be a real talk, we kind of like got a little beef going right now, but we'll patch that up and in the future, hopefully. But as far as my wife and I, she was in the business, you know, for quite some time. You know, she was on the road with James Brown. She was a former Miss Black America. You know, she was in beauty pageants since she was a kid. You know, she was former Nitro Girl as well. You know, and so we both know the pitfalls of the business and what it could really do to you, how the machine could really drive you. So we really are in tune to really being a team and making this thing work. You know, until we're like old and gray, and you know, can let our grandkids see this stuff and really reminisce.
Your next question comes from the line of Brian.
Hey, Booker, appreciate you taking the shine with us today.
Hey, no problem.
I was wondering if you could go back, because obviously we all remember Vince Russo's statements back at Bash at the Beach in 2000, but can you talk about your relationship with him and Jeff Jarrett then versus now, and I guess kind of how you've maintained that contact, or if you have, and where you see it going in this new direction with TNA?
You know, it's funny, you know, I hadn't, you know, talked to Jeff and Vince Russo since pretty much the breakup, you know, the crumbling of WCW. But those guys and myself, we've always had a really, really good relationship. Jeff, you know, when he first came into WCW, you know, he was really put up there really high, you know, but he was still one of those guys who was just a regular guy, treated me like a regular guy, he treated me no different. He was one of the first guys who wanted to go out and do business with me and put me over in the middle of the ring, you know. And guys like that, you know, really in this business are a dime a dozen. So, you know, you hear a lot of things, but that's what you're hearing from Booker T. But and as far as Vince Russo, I said it, you know, since the beginning, he was the guy who gave me that shot. He was the guy who put me in that spotlight as far as being world champion. And I always say, if he wouldn't have, has the guts to do it, would it have ever been done? You know, so I praise these guys very highly. And we all have a lot of respect for each other.
Your next question comes from the line of Mike Johnson.
Hey, Booker, how are you?
What's going on, Mike?
Very well. Wanted to ask you about your departure from WWE, because it seemed like there were a number of issues the last couple of months you were there, you being moved to Raw, to the WWE not signing on with the PWA to make it a developmental territory, and three, the signature pharmacy situation, which saw you suspended, and you left and said afterwards that you shouldn't have been suspended. So I wanted to get your take on those three sides and how they played in the public.
Well, I really think the developmental thing, that part right there is that's just a rumor. You know, I never had any problems with the company not making, you know, PWA a developmental. That's false. But I think the straw for me that broke the camel's back was when the signature pharmacy thing came out. I know I had nothing to do with signature pharmacy. I knew I hadn't ordered anything online. I knew I wasn't a part of that. And I relayed that to the company, and I wasn't protected. They didn't step up for me, so I knew it was time for me to leave that company.
Our next question comes from the line of Jim Barcelone.
Yeah, Booker, I was curious, too, to follow up a little bit on that. How did it work out? Because, tell me if I'm wrong, most of the wrestlers, if not all, have some no-compete clauses when they sign with WWE. Is this something you had? And how long of a time span was it? Was it from August when you last wrestled, or was it later on that you were able to do that, if you had the no-compete clause, to go somewhere else?
Well, I never had a no-compete clause. You know, they let me out of my contract, total and free and clear. I didn't have to, do anything further. I didn't have to do any more wrestling programs or anything like that. Maybe it was due to the situation and everything that's going on right now. It was the best way to let me out was quietly and peacefully.
Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, please press star then number one on your telephone keypad. And you have a follow-up from Jason Clevis.
Hey, Booker. Second question. Any plans for potentially the PWA to be a developmental territory or a training place for TNA talent?
Definitely, that's my goal, you know, to make, you know, TNA a better place to be, in every aspect, you know what I mean? I'm there not just for, to come there and pick up a check. I'm there to, you know, create and, make TNA the, you know, one of the best wrestling companies there are to be in, and, to be in, you know, so right now, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, getting a lot of those guys down to the PWA, you know, and, you know, getting them down to the training facility and, you know, getting some real work done, working on psychology, working on a whole lot of things. So it's going to be a great time to come here in the near future.
Your next clinic comes to the line of Nathan Naylor.
Booker, I want to cut to the chase real quick for you. With every TNA's U.S. position, they make claims that there's going to be a big difference in the ratings of the company. And the ratings is a whole different story with each acquisition with Christian and Kurt Angle. And I have to ask you directly, Booker, what do you plan to bring to the table that's going to validate these claims?
Well, you know, I mean, everybody knows as far as, you know, my wrestling paralysis and everything like that. Everybody know I can go out and do that, you know. I'm a businessman. I work from a business standpoint, you know. My work there is not only going to be in the ring working on that. That's the least thing we need to think about. My thing is, you know, we got to make sure everything is right. Every aspect, as far as it going out on television, as far as making our product, you know, the best product that the people can, you know, have to look at on television on Thursday night. That's what I'm there for. So as far as the wrestling side go, you know, definitely I'm there for the long haul, but I'm there for the inner workings side, and letting everybody know how it is to be on the same page, just like the New England Patriots right now.
Your next question comes from the line of Ian Aldo.
Hey, Booker, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not too much. Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, during the build-up to Genesis, were you aware that the majority of internet wrestling fans knew that the mystery guy was going to be yourself?
Yes. Yeah, well, is that the question?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, you know, I mean, everybody knew it was going to be me. I mean, how many other guys were out there that has won every major title in every other organization? It was a pretty easy code to crack, you know. That's the mystery of, you know, knowing, but still wondering and wishing, you know. And I think that's what the build-up was about, you know, because a lot of people, you know, was calling my, you know, writing me on my website and, you know, wishing I was going to come to TNA and, you know, calling me and telling me to go to TNA, you know. So I really think it was just something to let everybody, you know, stay with the flavor for a second.
Your next question comes from the line of Dave Meltzer.
Booker, how you doing?
What's going on, Dave?
Not too much. Hey, I wanted to ask you if you just number one, do you have any idea how your name would have come up if you had nothing to do with that, the signature thing? And also, going into TNA, when you look at TNA, what changes do you think they need to make, or what ideas do you have to take them, you know, to another level?
Okay, first question, you know, how I would have gotten involved in that, you know, and how my name would have come up in that. You know, I really can't answer that question, you know, but... You know, I believe in conspiracy theories. You know, I don't believe, you know, JFK was just shot by Lee Harvey Oswald and, you know, and his brain came up missing, you know, and you know, several years later. I believe in conspiracy theories. I believe that, you know, perhaps I was a scapegoat, and perhaps if I wouldn't have said anything about it or left the company, you know, it would have looked bad on me but not bad on them. So, you know, in that aspect, you know, I feel like, you know, maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But, and the other, how am I going to make TNA better? You know, like I say, I'm there to work from them. Like I say, the inner working side, you know, as far as the production side of what's going on with TNA, as far as, you know, blocking off, you know, and making sure everybody's on point as far as the wrestlers, as far as, you know, we got some of the greatest talent in the world. We got some, you know, I mean, these guys have an abundance of talent, you know, and if it's just honed in the right way, you know, as far as the show and how the show should be, and like I say, this is not something I can do by myself. It's going to take a team of us, you know, to get this together. And, you know, first and foremost, the young guys in TNA, they have to know first and foremost, I'm not there to take their spot. I'm there to make each and every one of them better as performers, and that's it.
Your next question comes from the line of Ariel Helwani.
Hey, Booker, I just had two quick questions. One was a follow-up to Dave's last question. Why would you think, I mean, you were one of the top stars, especially in your final months in WWE with the new King Booker gimmick. Why would you think someone would want to make you a scapegoat? And second of all, I'd read an article with you a few months ago where you said, you know, you loved being a heel, you loved playing the King Booker gimmick. I know you couldn't have that gimmick in TNA, but was there any thoughts of you coming in as a heel and maybe playing off of that gimmick a little bit instead of being the old Booker T?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, as far as the second question first, the King Booker character, I mean, it was something that was great. It was something, you know, it was a WWE thing, you know, and it was something that was, you know, thrust upon me, and I took it as far as I possibly could. I became king of the WWE. I became King Booker, and I took it, and the ratings went up with me as King Booker, but that wasn't something I wanted to do for the rest of my career. I was playing a role, and hopefully Hollywood got a chance to see how good I really was, and I'll be getting some calls here real soon, you know, but that's what that was about. What was that first question?
The first question was a follow-up to your previous question, saying that you thought that you were made a scapegoat for a various amount of reasons. So I just wanted to know, why would someone want to sort of get you in trouble like that, so to speak?
Gotcha. You know, that right there, you know, that comes from the top right there. And with everything that's going on right now, you know, I mean, you just can't, you know, pick out a bunch of guys who have no name and punish them, you know what I mean? You got to have somebody in there with some credibility to give yourself some credibility. So maybe, like I say, maybe that's it. You know, I don't know, you know, but I know I had nothing to do with Signature Pharmacy. I know that I've never ordered anything online with my credit card ever in my life, you know, so I know that was a falsehood.
Your next question comes from the line of James Walsh.
Hi, Booker. It's great to talk to you.
Oh, I appreciate it, man.
I got to tell you, you're my 6-year-old's favorite wrestler, and I have to hear about you all the time from him, man. It's great to talk to you.
That's a good thing, man.
All right, man. So I got to ask you, what's the difference for you as a performer going from wrestling in Madison Square Garden to wrestling in the Impact Zone in front of maybe a more intimate audience, but certainly a more informed, more energetic audience?
You know, it's great for me, you know. At this stage of my career, you know, I've done it all. I've gone all over. I've seen it all. And, you know, I've had a great career, you know, and, you know, right now, you know, I'm doing my documentary, you know, the beginning of the end of the beginning, you know what I mean? This is a new start for me. You know, I'm doing wrestling where I started out at, you know, down in Orlando, you know, in the studio, you know, and it's a great feeling, you know. I feel like I'm back at the stage again, you know, and those were my best days in professional wrestling, you know, and for the Impact Zone, you know, that crowd, it seemed like they followed me, you know, for the last, you know, 10 years, and that new crowd, you know, that's what's really cool about it, you know. So it's a lot of difference, but in a sense, it's really no difference, you know. I'm just performing for my fans.
Your next question comes from the line of Rich Jones.
All right, Booker. I'm just curious, can I ask you a two-parter real quick? Is it easy to run your own Fed, or were you really surprised at what it was like to run your own Fed? And two, will we ever see a Booker T autobiography?
I'm sorry, repeat that question again.
Okay, the first one was, is running your own Fed budding up more than you thought? You know, I mean, is it a bigger deal than you thought than just, you know, running your own Fed? And also, will we ever see your autobiography?
Oh, yeah, second part. First, yeah, definitely you're going to see the autobiography. You're going to get a chance to see the whole deal as far as Booker T go. And as far as running my own thing, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say it's harder than what I thought or anything like that. Actually, it's exactly what I thought. My thing is anything that's worth anything is going to take a lot of work. You know, you got to be on top of your P's and Q's. I've had my wrestling school now. I'm going on 4 years. I'm going to be doing our 13th show tomorrow night. And then in Christmas, that's going to be our first year anniversary. You know, and it took us 2 years to get to our first show. And I did that by design to make sure, you know, first impression was the last impression. You know, and I feel the same way, you know, about, you know, my direction, you know, here at TNA. You know, every impression that we make, you know, it's got to be huge.